overpowered. So I want us, all of us, together, welcome our international church.
Guys,
we need to support them. We need to support them because those of you that have been in the church, I'll say, I'm a little bit more than 4 years here. I don't know how it was before, but those of you that have been here at least 4 years, you remember what was happening in the center 3-4 years ago when we would come to church on Fridays to prayer, how we had to knock on heavens to receive breakthrough in the presence of God, because we felt like for 20-30 minutes we had to have warfare in order just to enter into open heaven. Today, everything is completely different, and we start to relax a little bit and get used to these things. There are people that are being risen all over the world. They're not here physically. They go through similar things. They need our support. I ask you to pray for them because letters come, and they experience great attacks and blows. And we, as a church that preaches today, that is raising up champions, raising up leaders, raising up those hungry ones that will search for God and show them the way into our God, we have to support them and just hold them up in our prayers. For all of you that listen to us and watch us, I want to say this.
Написано, будь верен.
It is written, be faithful
до смерти.
Till the death.
Будь верен до смерти.
Be faithful unto death. And I will give you a crown of life. Second scripture.
Я когда молился, просто
when I was praying
молился,
to the Lord, when
молился,
I was driving in the car, and I got another scripture that where it speaks about,
не ослабеешь, пожнёшь в своё время.
If you will not become weak, you will enter into your time. So no matter what comes against you, what attacks, what persecution, the laughter goes against you, continue going and moving. And I truly believe that this system, demonic system that holds up the movement of God, movement of the kingdom for many centuries, we believe it's going to come down. We hunger for the movement of God, for His power and His glory, and we know what's preventing this movement of the kingdom of God, it will be destroyed. This is what the Lord has promised. Okay. How are you feeling, guys? Wonderful weather outside today. Truly, today is good day. And I tell you the truth, when I was driving to the service, I thought there probably won't be a lot of people because as soon as the sun comes out, people just go on vacations. Praise the Lord, we are the hungry ones. We hunger for His presence and we love worshiping our God. And our choice is here to be in the house of the Lord today. Okay. I will start. The word that the Lord gave me, I wanted to share this word. I don't know, apparently it's probably... This word is in some sort of way is going to be more for the people that watch and listen to us on the internet. If you're sitting in the building and you will see yourself in this... And you see yourself in these messages that I'm going to share with you. So just bring order into your life. We are free people.
Amen.
Amen. We have free will. Free choice.
Не совсем.
Not really.
Pastor Andrei recently
said that we are between the two sources, and someone in some way extent has programmed our choice for us because we still are fed from the information of the spirit realm, but our choice is up to us. Choose either one side or the other. And today, I will share with you on how we should share our life and follow our God and make correct decisions. Very important.
These
things that I will touch down in this message. Every person encounters these things in their life once they give their life to God. You know, I don't believe that there are people that are dedicated to God that they pass by these things. If Jesus Christ did not pass them by, if apostles didn't pass these things by, and prophets of the Old Testament, they didn't pass it by, so they encounter them head to head. That means that we will encounter these things as well. We have to learn how to react to these things. God gave us a choice. We have choice, the right to choose. And we have this thing that's called the will. We all know that. We have free will, that's what we call it. But apparently, look, God loves man so much that he allowed the man to use his own will, even if the man chooses and uses that will against the desire of God, against God, God allows that to happen. Anyway, yes, that man will come to a certain period in his life and will have to reap what he sowed, but God does not come and says, you cannot do that. You know, in the Old Testament, God says when he gathered all the people of Israel, he was giving them the law. It is written that God said, I gave before you life and death, blessing or a curse. My desire is for you to choose life, so you would live. My desire is for you to choose blessing and life and live in it. But the choice is up to the man. But look how God is pleased, how he loves people that give their will to him. And we pray, let your will be done. And today's message, my message is called, Let Your Will Be Done. You know what?
I received
the desire to give the answer in this message. Onto these questions, because quite often people ask questions. I'm a church, they write, and they say, I left the church, what do I do now? I'm sitting at home, I'm praying to God, but that's not enough. I want to do something more. When we pray, let your will be done. We often pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. How serious are we with what we ask for and what we pray? We do not have the right, I say this right away, we do not have the right to tell God, let your will be done if we're not planning giving our will unto him. We cannot say that. We have the right to say these words if we don't want our will to be submissive to God. This prayer should be prayed by those people that really want to give their will and their life to God. How can you ask God? Let your will be done. And you're standing there on the side and say, you know what, it really doesn't matter. I'm still not going to do what you say. I still have my will. I say, this is a very serious prayer, serious desire, and serious thing. We have to be very careful with this. If we say, Father, let your will be done, first of all, we have to know that this prayer, this asking has to do with us, first of all, with us. And look, when we seriously comprehend what we pray for, we say, God, I dedicate to you my whole life, my will, my feelings, my emotions, my spirit, my soul, my body, completely unto you. Fill me up, Lord, use me. I want to move, I want to live, I want to be filled with you, I want to live for you.
And
for sure, in this situation, certain things start working that we haven't seen or encountered before in our life. You feel and you start to understand that you are between two worlds or two sources of power or two substances that have very strong influence and power, and they try to manipulate you or kind of have an effect on you. We know that there are two sources. It's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. It's the two sources of information where these are the two sources that come out into our universe. Look. Sometimes we think, maybe I'll just be somewhere in the middle. Live somewhere in the middle. It's good. You're not really You're not the head, you're not the tail, and at the same time, because usually the stones fly into the head, you know, the one who is the leader. And coming out of these understandings, sometimes people try, in the spiritual realm, they try to take up this neutral atmosphere. That does not exist. Jesus Christ said, if you're not with me, then you are against me. So you cannot be not with Christ or for Christ somewhere in the middle. No. You're either for him completely. Jesus said later on in that scripture, if you're not gathering with me, then you are losing, you know. You cannot be horizontal in the spiritual realm. You have to be vertical. You either come closer to God, you go up, or you go slowly down. There is no middle line. There is a place, a position where you can be between two worlds and not have a reaction to either to one or the other. If you didn't allow the Spirit of God to capture your life completely, your spirit, your soul, and your body, right away you'll start receiving food or nourishment from the other source. Condition of warfare. The flesh wants evil, bad things for the spirit, and the same thing with the spirit. It's fighting against the flesh. And these two substances always battle between themselves. They have war. Our spirit takes up nourishment and power from the godly realm. And our flesh, like what happened in the Garden of Eden, it was fed from the evil source. This still happens like that. But today I want to clearly speak about certain things that we allow or happen in our life, or we misunderstand and they come into our life, and certain discouragement comes, some sort of pain, and we ask God questions. God, where are you? How come we don't have a blessing? How come there's no answer? How is that I am in this place? I can't even understand what's happening with me. I would like to read a scripture for you guys. Here in the Old Testament, it is written, it's a very interesting story. When I was praying, when I was thinking about these things, what's interesting is that about these things, we see it clearly in the Bible. The Lord was speaking about them in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. The full book of the Bible is full of these things. First Kings 22:1-28. I will read quite a lot of this chapter, but we need to hear this. Syria and Israel continued without war for 3 years. In the third year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And Ahab, king of Israel, said to his servant, "Do you know that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we keep silence and did not take it from the king of Syria?" And Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead to battle?" Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." But Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first, I pray you, for the word of the Lord today." Then Ahab, the king of Israel, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle?" Ask yourself this question, where he got himself 400 prophets if Jezebel killed all God's prophets. Remember that. And when I was praying, we know that Elijah was upon earth that time, and he said that all the prophets were killed. And yet, here there are 400 prophets that stand before the king and prophesy. Then Ahab, the king of Israel, gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Should I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I hold back?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hands of the king." Joseph said, "Is there not another prophet of the Lord here whom we may ask?" Ahab, king of Israel, said to Joseph, "There is yet one man, Micah, son of Imlah, but whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good for me, but evil." Joseph said, "Let not king say that." Then Ahab, king of Israel, told an officer, "Bring quickly Micah, son of Imlah, Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting in royal robes and armor, each on his throne in an open place on a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zechariah, son of Chenaah, made him horns of iron and said, "Thus says the Lord, will these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets agreed, saying, "Go up to their mouth, Gilead, and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it unto the king's hand." The messengers who went to call Micah said to him, "Behold, now the prophets unanimously declare good to the king. Let your answer, I pray, be like theirs, and say what is good." But Micah said, "As the Lord lives, I will speak what the Lord says to me." So he came to the king. King Ahab said, "Micah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we hold back?" And he answered, "Go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the king's hand." And then the king said to him, "How many times must I charge you to tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace.'" Then the king of Israel said to Joseph, "Did I not tell you that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil?" But Micah said, "Hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?' One said this way, another said that way. Then there came forth a spirit of whom I am about to tell, and stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' And the Lord said to him, 'But what means?' And he said, 'I will go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' The Lord said, 'You shall entice him and succeed also. Go forth and do it.' So the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning you. But Zedekiah, son of Canaan, went near and struck Micah on the cheek and said, 'Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak to you?' Micah said, 'Behold, you shall see on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide yourself.' Ahab, king of Israel, said, 'Take Micah, carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and Josiah, the king's son, and say, the king says, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread and water of affliction until I come in peace.' And say, Micah said, 'If you return at all in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me.' He added, 'Hear, people, everyone of you.' So Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead." Interesting story. When I was reading this scripture, I asked myself this question: what is the king Jehoshaphat, king of Judah? It is written that this man was a fearful, God-fearing man, and he served the Lord all of his life. All the time when he was a king, he was searching for the Lord. He was inquiring from the Lord with all his heart. What happens here is that he came to visit the king of Israel. We know at that time that Israel was divided into two kingdoms. It was Judah, Israel. With one, it was capital was Samaria, and the other was the capital of Jerusalem. It is written that Jehoshaphat became friends with Ahab, and they actually became relatives through marriage. And when I'm telling you this story, look at this. Try to look at this from the spirit side, how sometimes the devil works in our lives so to lie to us and for us to be enticed into some sort of thing that we shouldn't even be in there. It is written, if we read in the book of Chronicles, it says that when Ahab found out that Jehoshaphat is coming to him, it is written that he brought a huge offering. He made a big feast. He tried to win the heart of Jehoshaphat. And it is written, when they were celebrating, when they were having a feast, Jehoshaphat said, "Hey, listen, I have a problem. Can you help me?" They were relatives at that time. Before that time, there was war. All the kings Judah and Israel. They were battling amongst themselves, but there was peace only when Jehoshaphat became king of Judah. And here, Jehoshaphat was in good spirits. He said, yeah, yeah, these are your people, they're my people, my horses are your horses. It's all the same. So let's ask the Lord what the Lord will say again about these things. If you'd look onto this story from the spirit side, you see that Ahab is this sinner, this person that is not in the will of God, and God has released a word, a judgment onto him, and he is an example of our flesh, of our human nature, that, you know, unclean part of humanity. I'm not speaking about a body here, our sinful nature. Jehoshaphat is that man that was fearful of the Lord. It's written that he walked before the Lord, he searched for him, and if we read the story of the people of Israel, that he was blessed by God, that it is written that he was responsible for raising up teachers that went all over Israel, and they were teaching people the laws of the Lord. And it's written that the enemies were going against Jehoshaphat, they were defeated. When Jehoshaphat and his army would come to the battlefield, they'd see that the enemies were already defeated. The Lord was showing him his glory. What's interesting, when Jehoshaphat came back from this war, when he came home into Jerusalem, it says that God's man said, because you were friends, or you were together with a person that I've already judged unto death, God says, I will punish your house for these things. Same thing happens with us in the spiritual world. Look. Before he went into war, he shared his word. He said that he will give his army to Ahab, and he'll give him horses, and on and on. He says, listen, Ahab, let's find out how God is looking at this situation. And it's written, like I said, 400 prophets, I don't know where they came from. I know that one thing, that these were people of compromise. Those people that were compromising, that were trying to, you know, please the king through their prophecies, and they could stand rarely before the king and prophesy. If Elijah would speak the truth from the mouth of the Lord, he prophesied those things that the Lord would open up, Elijah had to hide. Ahab was chasing him. It is written that a little bit before that in the scripture, there wasn't there a country or a city where Ahab couldn't send his warriors and then take up an oath from that city that Elijah is not in their city. He was searching for him to kill him because that man spoke the word of the Lord, the truth. And the next prophet that he knew about was Micah. He says, I hate him because he never speaks the truth. He never says anything good to me. He always says bad things to me. For some reason, he thought that man speaks lies. It also is written that he tried to make him say what, you know. Ahab thought that he deserved something bigger, something better. When people start moving after God, when people receive some sort of calling or destiny upon their life, this is some sort of direction from God, there, it doesn't matter if you came out into your calling or you didn't, came out into your calling but not in your time, your ministry will be destroyed. Spirit is after God. The Spirit is trying to find out the will of God.
The other
sphere that works into the life of God is subconscious. It's trying to please God with our actions, to become in the position of the man, that position of the man is trying to do everything possible to please the Lord with the works and deeds. It says that God does not like that. It is disgusting to him. He doesn't like that. You cannot ever, ever please God with your good motives, with your maybe right motives or deeds. If it doesn't come out from the heart of the man, if the Holy Spirit is not leading you into this, it has no meaning in the eyes of God. Why people will say, did we not use your name to cast out devils? In your name we cast out devils and did these signs and wonders and miracles. Why? The Lord says, I do not know you. You were working, yes. You were doing things. You were doing great, wonderful things, but these were wrong things in my eyes. This was not for me. Let your will be done. Let's remember David. That man, God's man, God spoke about him. This is the man after my heart. God was happy with this man, regardless that he made mistakes, wrong actions, certain things that he did in his life. God loved him because in his heart he placed an oath that he should fulfill the will and the desire of God. He was a king that was also a warrior. When he even tried to build a temple for the Lord, God says, you're not going to be able to do it because you know what? With your own hands, there was a lot of bloodshed. The temple will be built by your son. And every time when he'd go to war, it doesn't matter if it was in his youth or when he was a little older, when he was a king, when he was older, he would always ask for the will of God. He was always searching for the will of God. He was always searching how. And when he was even battling, even in his battles, in his wars, he'd ask, inquire from the Lord. And God would sometimes tell him, don't go this way, do this, go from the back of the trees, and if you'll hear the wind in the mulberry trees, know that the Lord is his God before you, and he will bring you victory. So, this was really, this is an example of a man that was searching for the Lord, regardless of the situations, regardless of what was happening. Saul, for instance, how often happens in our lives. Saul, when he was chosen for the kingdom, and Samuel told him, go into a certain place and wait for me to come, and when I will bring sacrifice and ask and inquire of the Lord for you. But there was war, it was hard times, and Philistines were going against the Israeli nation, and it was written that the 7 days were almost out, and Samuel was supposed to come on the 7th day. Samuel didn't come. God was testing the heart of Saul, and so he was holding back Samuel. And it is written when this man saw that his warriors and the people were, you know, complaining and worrying, so he brought the sacrifice himself. And then Samuel comes and asks him right away, as soon as he brought the offering, he says, what did you do? Why did you bring the offering? Often, this is what happens with us as people. We start moving, we start doing things because of circumstances. We start doing or moving and doing things because there's certain situations and something is happening. Sometimes, if you ring about your consciousness, it's a very interesting subject, completely different, but our consciousness to speak for us, and it has to be sanctified. But if a person is not here from the Lord, then your consciousness is diluted and polluted. It needs to be cleansed, and it's working against you then. You know, what our consciousness sometimes speaks against us, that we are useless in the kingdom of God, that we're not doing much. You know, how many times I've heard this? How pastor says, relax, just eat your bread and just you'll be in the kingdom of God. How come is that we are so selective with our hearing? We hear one phrase, but we don't hear the other one. When we are waiting, we should have active waiting, not passive waiting. You should be in God. You should be praying, inquiring of the Lord. Do not, for instance, if the Lord says, wait, just wait and wait for his will. But when you're waiting, do not be passive, be active. I don't know, even after David was anointed to the king, look at this. Did he go into the king's house? Did he say to his father, listen, I'm not going to go back to the field to these sheep. I'm the king, you know, I'm the king, the same one himself came. It is written that in that day Samuel was the one that brought the whole of Israel back to the Lord. It is written that he has such authority in the eyes of all the people of Israel. And Samuel, this great prophet, came in his power and authority that was given to him by God, and he anoints David as a king. What is the then David does what? He goes back into the fields, and he is still a shepherd in the field. But when the time came, we know the story, when the time came, God made it this way that they called for him. he ended up in the house of the king.
We as people,
sometimes,
I'll say this,
under the influence of our consciousness, under our feelings and emotions, we try to help God. Nothing good will come out of it. I remember when this one moment when immigration started,
and
a lot of people were going into America. How many people went into prophets that were searching for the word of the Lord? Should we go? Should we not go? And I know there were moments where people were going to one prophet,
and
the prophet said, the Lord has opened up to me that this is your place, and your calling is here for you. You have to stay here. This word is not from the Lord. He went to the second, third, fourth, fifth prophet. He'd come
to that
person that spoke something that was good in his kind of echoed in his heart, what he wanted to hear. This is the same thing that Ahab said. 400 prophets said, go. You have a desire to go battle the kings. Gileab, go and battle. Even when the officer went to get the other prophet, Micah, and he says, everybody says good things to the kings. You should, your word should be the same. So Micah came and said, you want my word? I have a good word. Go, you'll be victorious. But if you want to know the word of the Lord, I'll tell you this. You will be killed on this battle. We have to learn. We have to be very careful because, look, this story, I didn't read all the way because it's a long story, but what happens later on in the story? Do you remember what Ahab did? This is what our flesh does in our lives. What does that, what does the king do? He says to Jehoshaphat, you change into the king's robes and go into the battle. I will change into the armor of a warrior. I'll be a warrior. So if they will try to kill the king, Ahab starts, you know, kind of scheming here, trying to save his life, and he tells Jehoshaphat, you believed what was spoken through the prophet Micah, right? Because you shut my mouth, you said that I cannot speak thus about a person who speaks from the Lord. Okay, so you dress as a king and I will go into the battle as a warrior. Look. Just because Jehoshaphat loved God and served God, he stayed alive. It is written when Syrians saw Jehoshaphat in the kingly clothing, they chased after him. What was written that the general of the Syrian army said, do not kill any of the soldiers, only the king. But it is written that when they saw Jehoshaphat in the kingly clothing, so they assumed that that was Ahab, because Ahab went into the battle, so they chased him. He started screaming, it says. Maybe it was his voice, but somehow when Jehoshaphat started crying out or screaming, they figured out that it's not the king of Israel. So Jehoshaphat left the battlefield, and it is written later on, and one warrior by accident released an arrow, and by accident, God, I have right in the chest. When you, in your life, compromise with the flesh, you will have to pay. When the hard times come, it will place you in the battle line and says, okay, now you deal with it. This is how it is. This is how it is. And then we try to start blaming friends, other people, and start blaming God. We start to be unhappy with ourselves. Why? Because, you know what? First of all, we have to pay for these things. The battle is against the king. Pressure is going to go against that thing that manifests God. Always, the spirit of this realm will try to speak against or pollute what the Lord is saying, what comes out of the word, I mean, the mouth of the Lord. Often, in their lives, people, they are moved, by the accusation of their consciousness.
Когда приходит зависть.
When they get jealous.
Ну как возле меня сидит брат, возле меня сидит сестра, она что-то делает
my
в церкви, но
brother or sister next to me that's sitting in church, they're doing something and I'm not doing anything. I should start doing something. I can show them.
Почему у меня есть призвание?
And people start saying this. What am I called for?
Приходит письма. Я говорю, когда читаешь письма, люди
такие
вещи.
people write such things in their letters. Maybe it doesn't really concern us because we went through a lot already and we kind of we've learned and studied these things, but there are some people that are being risen. They're babies in Christ. Just got their legs in order, they're trying to walk, and these people want to pray for healing, for deliverance, for warfare. They want to move mountains, they want to go into the spirit realm and be victorious. And then they get in trouble, they get heavy blows, and then they get discouraged and say, where is God and all of this? And I want us to be very, very careful. And people start
to
say, I should do something, right? And these people start to think, this is our human nature here in action. I'll tell you, every one of us encounters this. Right now, I'm speaking about myself, and you can say this about yourself as well. We'll look at it this way. Okay, so this is a good ministry here. There's not a lot of pressure here, responsibility here, and then we start thinking, okay, hold on. Apparently, probably I have this calling. I have the desire to do it. I'm kind of attracted to this particular ministry. And everyone chooses in their own way, and this person starts moving. No. But Joseph had said, listen, maybe we should inquire from the Lord. And here, that same consciousness that was judging you because you don't do anything, now it's moving in completely different directions. It says, listen, what if this is not of God? You have to make that decision. Listen, open the Bible. Maybe God will reveal to you things or confirmation through the Bible. And the person opens up the Bible, one scripture, second scripture. No, this is good. Second one is good. Third is good. Fourth is good. And the person starts... Start sharing with a friend, and the friend says, yes, I've been thinking about you for a while. You'll be very good in this area. The person is not affected by the will of God. He doesn't care what the will of God is. He is interested in what the consciousness is telling him, what the friends are saying, and they try to make these wrong steps. And then I want us all to understand this one principle. God blesses only what comes out from God, what comes out from Him. God blesses what comes out from His spirit, from His heart, from His dreams and desires. God is taking care of that and blesses that. If this comes out from your heart, if this comes out from your wrong desires and motives, even if it's good motives, but it's from you, you yourself will bless it. Guess what's going to happen? Everyone around will be to blame. God will be to blame. Everybody will be to blame. Another interesting thing in this situation, look, when we search for these things, when
we try through,
service to the Lord, try to shut our consciousness. Instead of dealing with these voices, we start to please.
Желание, а все-таки знать волю Божью, и мы ищем какие-то источники.
Sources, always. In every man, there's a voice in every man, a voice in his heart that comes out from the Spirit of the Lord. But flesh is quite crafty. Human nature is crafty. And Joseph says to Ahab, listen, these 400 men, we understand what they're saying, but can we hear information from the Lord? There are a lot of people that say good things, yes. Everything, they're demonstrating how the victory is going to happen. They've made horns here and they're showing it. But they say we want the will of God. So what happens sometimes is we try to shut down that voice because it's going against our desires and our will. Ahab here represents our flesh. He says, there is this one, but I don't want to listen to him. There is this one, but he never says anything good that I want to hear. Sometimes this voice is very quiet, but this is the voice of the Holy Spirit that is there for our blessing, for our protection. More than often, we have to hear and listen to this voice, our desires, you know, we sometimes don't want to hear, but we have to. When Micah came, he said, go, but when the men tried to dig deeper, want to know more, he heard that revelation that was given to this prophet. God has everything planned for our life. And what's interesting, I'll say, God always has his calendar. God has his schedule for our life. You know, our vacations, you know, busy weeks and weekends. He usually, 95%, 99%, he does not match our human calendar. And it's hard for us to deal with that. Of course, we'd want everything super fast, right now, anointing now, ministry now, action, some sort of movement now. God needed to keep Joseph for a certain amount of time in prison. David had to be out in the field for a certain amount of time, even after he was anointed into kings. God has his calendar, and we have to learn, and I say this before, if we pray this, if, Lord, let your will be done, then we should search for the will of God. We have to strive for that, for the will of God in our lives. Let's look at another scripture.
A
couple of examples.
Why
is it profitable for the devil to push a man or woman to this sort of situation? He's not stupid.
If we, from our birth,
look into our life and all the situations that God let us go through, we understand direction and God's calling on our life. The devil is not stupid. He knows this.
And
just recently I asked God a question before I came into this church. I always had this question, God, why? Why is it that I had about 10 incidents of being in the brink of life and death? Why is it that death was after me all this time? I tell you, the devil is crafty. He knows. It is written that he is like a roaring lion. He's searching to devour, who to steal, and to kill, to destroy. He knows. If a man will get caught on his, you know, lure, he'll be lured into what he is feeding that person. He will be derailed. He might have a downfall, even if it is this person does end up walking in the calling, or, you know, but it's wrong time, wrong way that he got there, it's not going to be successful. It can be all just erased and destroyed with our own hands. This is why I say that we have to be serious with these things. Yes, we understand that our life is short. It's just but a vapor, and we want to achieve many things in this life. But, beloved, we have to understand we will not do more than the Lord has predestined us to do. We will not be able to achieve more than the Lord has predestined us. If we dedicate our lives to God and we say, God, let your will be done, we have to trust Him. Look, same war. Same motives, same situation, but in different colors. Jesus Christ in the wilderness, he's being tempted by the devil. It kind of happened the same way. Same scriptures, same wonderful sentences. Everything is good, right? But he was obedient to his Father. He came, it is written, to fulfill the will of his Father. Jesus was very careful. He paid attention to fulfill the will of the Father. Before, when I didn't understand these things, I would always ask questions. Why, God, when you entered Jesus, why is it that when you went into that place, into Bethesda, when there were a lot of sick people, it is written that there were a lot of crippled, a lot of sick people, but you only healed one? Why is that? Why is it you would come into one city, it is written that you healed everyone that was sick, and here you come. You know, sometimes when we look at these people, it's like there's that place where there were sick people, a lot of sick people, and you only healed one. But then I understood that Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. He would just echo whatever the Father was doing. He was obedient to the will of the Father. That's when everything is in its right place. It's very important. Yes, we have compassion. We might feel pain. We have compassion for the sick and for the, you know, for the ones that are in trouble. And we feel like we pray for everybody. We want to pray for everybody and heal everybody. But no, we got to be obedient to what God is saying. When Jesus Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying, our salvation was based upon his choice. And his decision cost him a lot, even in that prayer. What is blood? I read before what the scientists say about these things.
It
was very hard. It was like a life and death situation right there, even in the garden. Scientists say that in those moments it was such horrible stress for the body that the brain, you know how the brain has got squiggly lines, that what happens is those lines or the mass in the brain, this kind of shape squiggly, it becomes straight. The brain is under so much pressure that it cannot handle, and usually a person dies. But because Jesus was choosing life, to bring life to humanity, and he went with his calling and destiny upon his life through his Father, he was left alive, even though he did bleed his sweat was like blood. What does that say? That we'll go through certain moments in our life. If we read the life of Apostle Paul, what he was going through, it's because he was obedient to the will of the Father. Same thing with Saul, when he was still Saul, he thought he was serving the Lord. It is written in the book of, in the Bible, that it says that the time will come that they will kill you, will be killing you, and they think that by doing that they are serving the Lord, persecute and kill you. You have to understand about all these different sources that motivate people to the service of the Lord. It says, Lord, let your will be done. I want to be completely dedicated unto you, wholly given out to you. I give you all my desires. What I like that Paul, when he was still Saul, he had desire for the Lord. God saw his heart. What he did later on is change his direction, kind of tweaked a little bit his heart. And then when he fell off his horse, he says, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "You are the one that I am the one that you're persecuting." You know, our will is speaking against God's will in our lives, and it's resisting the will of the Lord for our lives. David, I've shared about this before, that he's after God's heart. He says that the Lord said he will fulfill all the desires of my heart. Again, he was in these different moments where he had to make choices, decisions. He had to run away from Saul. He was hiding from him. He can't really rest, eat, sleep, and here, one-on-one, he is with the enemy, and the enemy is really defenseless. One time he was in the cave, the other time when he came into the camp, Saul's camp, when he was chasing David. It is written that David and his page took Saul's water container. And it's written that in the first situation, the man says, "Okay, just your word, and that's it. I'm going to get rid of him with one blow. That's it. I'm not going to miss." David understood the will of God in his life. He understood that he's not going to move Saul and sit on his throne. No, he trusted the Lord. And this is why his actions went hand in hand with the desires of the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. When desires from God come and God speaks into your life, you really know that. You understand this. It's not just guessing here. You don't need to run around and search for confirmation here and there. You don't need to say, "Okay, maybe I'll find something in the Bible from the five chapters that I'll read. I'll find something that speaks to me." No, you know what? Search for the Lord. Inquire from the book of Acts. It is written a couple of moments here. Saul, he's already Paul. He's been called to minister to the many nations, and he's preaching to them. And here the Holy Spirit tells them, he tells them, to the people that were gathered there,
he says,
separate unto me
Barnabas
and Paul into the ministry that I've called them. The Lord cares for his calling for every person and their destinies. The Lord knows when and how to do it. Another scripture where there was an argument between many people and they were complaining in the Church of Jerusalem. They were figuring things out. Should these uncircumcised heathens become part of the church? And it is written that they prayed about it, gave the situation to the hands of God, and it is written that it was pleasant to the Holy Spirit and to us not to place unto you extra things besides certain things that they wrote about. Three things. If you look at church of our days, it's covered by so many different things, and rules and regulations. If you look in the book of Acts, there's only three. Look, sometimes we want to do certain things in our lives. Do this, what we think is good, and then the Holy Spirit will confirm what we think is right. This is a problem of Christianity. It's a problem of those people that are hungry for God. They want to serve God. It's for real. We need to learn to simply trust. Why is it written? Just be like children. Our thing is to be like children. Why is it that children, it doesn't matter where and what happens, if his mother or father is with that baby, that baby is calm, regardless of where he's at. Or if there's danger, he is calm. We have to learn to just trust our Heavenly Father and to allow him to come into our lives and do whatever he wants. What does God require from us in our life? What is he searching for in our lives? It's our open hearts, our obedience.
If we're looking for him and searching for his will, I'm telling you, we were at the cell group a few days ago, and we have these moments in our life when God is right there in front of us and we move towards him. And I'm walking towards him. But it turns out that not me walking towards him, it turns out that something is missing. And I put my ministry here, and I put something else here. And instead of walking towards God, I have things before me that are more important, that they are almost like a present, like a gift to God to tell and show them or demonstrate that. Here, I do something for you. Before me, I put my ministry and everything. But no, if we go after God, we have to go towards him only. Get closer and closer to him. If God will give you ministry, if he will let you start some kind of ministry, it will not be here or there, it will be behind you. It will follow you. Between you and God, there should be nothing in that way. Why
it
says in the Bible that God does not look at what we do? Our command is to love him and to have a desire to follow him, and that's it. And everything that God will add, it will just be behind us. It will be behind us. It will follow us. Just a simple rule, simple principle. Stop looking for those things. Just start looking for him, for his. Be obedient to him. If he says, go there, go there. If he says, go outside, go outside. But don't try to throw something at God as a gift, thinking that that will be something right to do. And I think that those words that God spoke out, I told them already, they are for this last days. I create what I see my Father create. I do only do those things that God creates. I am done. Right now we're just going to pray. I'm telling you, each and one of us know where we're at and what we're up to. Let our hearts be open right now and just say, just say a few words to God. Say, God, if there is something in this life of my own, take it away. He hears us. From this, you know, stage, a lot of things are spoken, and we understand many things that are spoken. Just receive it into your life. Never in my life you or I will be able to achieve more than God will give you. We just have to allow God move in our lives and trust Him. And if there's something that is moving you, something of your own, just tell Him, God, let it all be removed. Remove it. And I want only something that You will give. I want to receive only what You have prepared for me. Let's just stand up. Father, we worship You. We worship You.
Ми провозносимо ім'я Твоє, Святе. Ти є великий Бог, Господь. Ми часто
holy.
Молимося, хай буде Твоя воля. Ми часто
and
Господь говоримо ці слова, хай буде воля Твоя, Отець. Ну як часто ми не вкладаємося в змісту ці слова. Наскільки ми часто не впізнаємо до кінця, що значить, що ми просимо Тебе. Я прошу Тебе, Духом Твоїм Святим, просто забери з нашої житті все те, що стоїть між нами, між Тобою, Бог. Ти призвав нас, Господь, бути Твоєю світлом. Ти призвав нас, Господь, бути виконавцями Твоєї волі. Ти призвав нас бути заповнені Твоїм Духом, Бог. Ну наскільки часто ми, Господь, не довіряємо Тобі, наскільки ми часто стараємося допомогти Тобі, зробити щось по-своєму, зробити щось своє, украсти, Господь, служіння,
we want to create our own ministry. We want to create something of our own. Remove it.
То, що ми не успокоїмося із-за того, що проходить час, я прошу тебе прощення, Господь. Дай нам, Господь, відкриті очі, дай нам, Господь, видіння, дай нам жажду шукати того,
give us desire.
Дай нам желання, Господь,
give us desire to learn and to know Your will for our lives.
Господь, ніякий, Господь, своїх попиток угодити тобі. Ніякий, Господь, попиток просто, Господь, бути угодним тобі через те, що ми, Господь, зайняті, Господь, якимось служенням для тебе. Підійми, Господь, вірний. Підніми вірних, підніми тих, які, Господь, будуть любити Тебе, слідувати за Тобою, Господь.
Let us follow Your heart. Let us follow Your heart.
Жаждати Твоєї слави.
We want to see Your glory.
Господь, я вірю в те, що коли, Господь, ми йдемо до Тебе, Ти, Господь, даєш і благословляєш нашу життя. Ти, Господь, даєш нашу життя, Господь.
Lord, You come and bless us.
Хай буде Твоя охорона над нашими мислями, над нашими желаннями, над нашими, Господь, рушеннями. Ми повністю віддаємося в Твої руки і поклоняємося Тобі, наш Бог. Слава Тобі!
Lord, we give everything into Your hands and we worship You.
Поклоняємося Тобі, наш Бог.
And we worship You.
Бог, наша просьба.
Lord,
підійми вірних.
Our request is to...
Підійми посвячених. Підійми тих, які повністю будуть довіряти Тобі.
Come and remove everything that is of our own.
На свої досвіди, ні на що, Господь, тільки на Тебе. В ім'я Ісуса Христа. Будь благословений, будь прославлений. Вся слава Тобі, вся честь Тобі.
Ти достойний слави.
Ти достойний слави, наш Бог. Вся слава Тобі, наш Бог. Вся слава Тобі. Алілуя.
Амінь. Амінь.
Алілуя.